Amen. Amen. It's good to have some little ones to leave with.
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing. Just two of them? I mean, two of them taking care of them? They sure don't need some help back there. Amen. Amen. You know, it's amazing, and there's other reasons besides just they can't do that. It's just good to have two people in a service like that. But, you know, you hear stories about the, and I never was there, by the way. It's good to hear stories about the one-room schoolhouse where they had teachers that were teaching 12-year-olds that were in the first grade because they'd never been next to a school before, teaching them clear up to 25-year-olds that were in ninth grade because that was as high as the school went, and there'd be 35 or 40 and one teacher teaching them all. That was back when. I don't think any of us were alive then, but what a day. Mark chapter number 4 tonight, if you will, please. Matthew chapter number 8. We'll refer to Mark chapter 4, but Matthew chapter number 8. Till the storm passes by. You may be seated. Excuse me for not mentioning that sooner. Thank you for waiting till I did mention it. We're going to begin reading in verse number 23. This is the Lord Jesus in a ship, in a storm, with some frightened disciples. And we're going to learn some things, I think, from their time there with the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 23, "And when he entered," when Jesus entered into a ship, "his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" As we think about this message tonight, I want to mention that it's one of the miracles of Jesus. And this one is recorded in three different portions of Scripture. The text that we just read, also in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse number 35, and Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse number 22, and we'll make reference to some of those, but we'll not turn and read those this evening. I want to make reference to a song that was written some time ago, and the title of the song is "Till the Storm Passes By," and I wouldn't try to sing it if my voice was right, much less being how it is now. But the song says, "In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunders, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." Many times Satan whispered, there's no use to try. There's no end of sorrow. There's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Beginning in verse number 23, we find Jesus and his disciples laboring together, going together to a particular place, and they end up in a stormy sea. And I believe that this storm is to be to us typical of the different storms that come into our life. And I've learned as a child of God, and as I got older, I realized the truth of it. You're either in a storm, you just came out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into another storm. And so we need to understand that storms are a part of life. And storms come into our life to teach us things that we couldn't learn any other way. So the storms that we face are different kinds of troubles, and those are, pardon me, those are as different as night and day. Each one of us is in a different storm at a different time in our life. Chances are, the storm that you're going through tonight, somebody else in our church body has gone through that storm before, and they could be a great help to you if they knew where you were, knew what was happening, if you could converse about it, share the things that Jesus did for them and what he wants to do for them, and so forth. But the troubles that we have, adversities and temptations, you know, being saved doesn't remove all the temptations from your life. There's still temptations at every corner. There's temptations every day. Things that come into our life where the devil tries to challenge us to come away from Christ and enjoy the fruits of his being instead of the fruits of Christ. And so there's all kinds of temptations. And then I think more common is doubts. Doubts. What if? And if only? And if it doesn't happen? And our life gets hung up in a lot of doubts. And doubts will always, according to the scriptures, doubts will always give us fears. And so here we find these men are going into a storm, and they have doubts about what's happening and everything, and so fears are very present with them. Now note this, two things I think are very important as we go into this storm. Verse number 23, they followed Jesus into the ship. They were exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. Now the devil will tell you that if you're where Jesus wants you to be, there'll be no storms. That's not true. Chances are there'll be more storms there than there'll be if you're out of the Lord's will, somewhere else besides where you're supposed to be. And so they were exactly where the Lord wanted them to be. And secondly, the very physical presence of the Lord did not prevent the storm from coming. Saved people suffer storms just like anyone else does. The difference is we have someone to go through the storm with us. Amen. If we're paying attention, he'll be a very present help. Pardon me. And they learned some things in this storm that they could have never learned anywhere else. They could have never learned the things they learned in the storm anywhere else. Now, Jesus told them to get in the ship and go to the other side. And that's found in one of the other Gospels, listings of this same story. Get in the ship and go to the other side. So Jesus had appointed them a place, and the place wasn't shipwreck at the bottom of the sea. That's not where Jesus had appointed them. And they could have learned something from that if they would have. They should have been listening a little better. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 22, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth." Jesus knew where the journey was going to take them, and everything about the journey was guaranteed by his promises, by his word. And we need to gain the promises, learn the promises of God so we can gain faith and gain courage from those. So we see the stormy sea. Secondly, we see the sleeping Savior in verse number 24. Excuse me as I get my vision where I can see a little bit better here. In verse number 24, it says, "There arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much of the sea was covered, but he was asleep." He was asleep. And from this, we learn a couple of things. First off, we learn that Jesus is perfect humanity. Jesus, we'll note later that Jesus was the God-man. He still is the God-man. But he suffered all the things, the feelings and the emotions that you have. Jesus has gone through those. The Bible says he was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. Let's notice some of the things that Jesus showed us in the Word of God so that we would know that though he is all God, He's still all man. So he can understand where we're at when we're going through a situation. In John chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus is going through, he must needs go to Samaria. Jacob's well is there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So here we find that he suffered being tired, just like you and I do. Well, this morning, I didn't know if anybody was going to be awake when we got finished with the message this morning. I know everybody was tired this morning with good reason. You're physically tired. Jesus knows what it is to be physically tired. And then in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Anybody ever been hungry? Oh, you shouldn't say that in the Baptist church because everybody's stomach starts growling. We need to understand that Jesus knows what it is to be hungry. 40 days and 40 nights, nothing to eat. He was afterward hungered. The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. And so we find that Jesus had this emotional connection with us. He knew what it was to shed tears. He knew what it was to be sad. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knows what it is to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus knows what it is to be happy. Jesus knows what it is to just to be thrilled with life. He understands that. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 33, Jesus speaking to some religious people, Jesus said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Jesus knew what it was to be angry. He knew what it was to be angry. Do you know what it is to be angry? Do you question sometimes your anger? Do you wonder if it's based on anything biblical, anything worthwhile? Jesus knew what it was to be angry. In John chapter 19 and verse number 28, the Bible says, of course, Jesus is on the cross, and Jesus, knowing that all things are now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. He knew what it was. When Brother Sutton reaches underneath here and gets a cup of water and says, excuse me just a minute. Jesus knew what it was to thirst. And so his presence should have given them peace. It didn't, but it should have given them peace. When you get into a situation that you'd rather not be in, does the presence of the Lord Jesus in your life give you peace? It should. It should. That's what God wants it to do. His presence should have given them peace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Jesus wants to take our doubts and our fears, and he wants to give us power and love and a sound mind. His presence should have given them all of those things. And then it might have seemed to those men there that Jesus didn't care. Have you ever thought that the Lord Jesus was maybe asleep and he didn't care what was going on in your life? Have you ever thought, well, if Jesus really cared, X, Y, or Z? Sometimes we do those things. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 38 is where it says he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus, you don't care if we die? And the very reason he came is because he knows we're going to die. He wanted to prepare us for heaven. Hebrews chapter 12 of verse number 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And so when we stop and think about it, all that Jesus went through, not to make a name for himself, not even to be lifted up in any way, but he went through those things because he does care. He does care. And for us to think that he doesn't care is really a slap in his face. Pardon me. In verse number 25, we see the servant's stress. Wake us, save us, we perish, they said. Their approach was, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible says that they, in their stress, they were brief and they were to the point. You know, this is one thing that I admire about these fellows, and we have another example of this in the life of Peter. Remember, Peter came out of the boat and he walked to see Jesus, and then he saw the wind, and the Bible says that when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, that's not what he said. He said, Lord, save me. Amen. Brief and to the point. Sometimes we think we have to pray for 15 minutes before Jesus hears what we say. I don't believe that. I believe sometimes it's precious, it's wonderful, it's good, it's exciting to spend 15 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour in prayer to the Lord, talking to Him, listening, talking to Him, reading the Bible, talking to Him, reading the Bible. That's good. But listen, when you're stressed, you don't have to do that. They said, Lord, we perish in verse number 25. Short prayer. They were being honest. They were being accurate. They were being open. Master, we're dying. We're gone. And so the cry was brief and it was to the point. And I believe that more than anything else, more than time that we spend on our knees, I think Jesus wants us to be honest and to the point. We beat around the bush sometimes and talk about everything except what Jesus wants to hear us talking about. And these men talked about what they needed to talk about. Lord, we perish, and we see them stressed out. Do you ever get stressed out because you're in a storm? Do you ever get stressed out? I mean, your blood pressure goes up and all the other things that worry and concern does for you. That's what happened to these fellas. And then we see the Savior scolding them. In verse number 26, He saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Note a couple of things as we think about this. He rebuked them because of their little faith. He rebuked them because of their unbelief. One of the things that I think hurt Jesus more than anything else that His disciples could do was to have unbelief. You remember when Jesus was crucified, He raised from the dead, the women had seen Him, the women went and told folks that He was alive, He's going to meet Him in Galilee and so forth, so they arranged that. And the Bible says, afterward, He, Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Upbraided is probably the strongest word you could use for scolding. He upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why? Because they believed not them that had seen Him, which had seen Him after He was risen. But you know, a lack of faith is what causes that. And there's only one place your faith is going to be increased. And that's in this book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if Jesus has been scolding us because we've been unbelieving or had a hard heart, we need to get into this book more. And just reading it based on our schedule. Here we have the schedule I've been looking at and looking for the year, and I finally broke down and got me a new one. I'd used the other one for about 6 years, and it was starting to get pretty wore out. So I got me a new one, but that's the schedule that I use. But let me tell you what, if that's the only time you're spending in the Bible, your faith's not going to grow very much. You need to spend time in the Bible. And there's something else too. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Not approved unto man, but approved unto God. And if you'll take that time, the scriptures that are given there, and you'll study through them and not just read them off so you can draw a line through that date and throw the thing back in the back of your Bible and go on, your faith can grow there. But it takes time. It takes time. And we need to be able to spend time. We need to want to spend time with the Lord Jesus. And so he rebuked the cause, and the cause of their problem was little faith and unbelief. And then he rebuked the result of those things, and that was fearfulness. They were afraid. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 18 says, there is no fear in faith. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Are you fearful tonight? There is no fear in love. Now, if that's not true, John 3:16 is doubtful also. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And if you're full of fear, you know that. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so we need to, and of course, the cure for a lack of love for the Lord Jesus is to remember that He loved us first. We love Him because He first loved us. And when we, if you're just going to sit and think about something, think about how much Jesus loves you. Think about all that He went through. And He went through that because He loves you. He didn't do it because you were a great commodity or I was a great commodity. He did that because He loved us. And He loved us with our sin. He loved us with our shortcomings. He loved us with our arrogance. He loved us with our pride. He loved us. And when you stop and think about all that He went through, all of a sudden you'll find yourself more attached to Him. You'll find yourself more drawn to Him. You'll find yourself wanting to spend more time with Him. Not just going to church and not just talking the church talk, but when we really consider how much He loved us, we will honestly actually love Him more. So we see the Savior scolding, and then we see the stilled storm in verse number, in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 29, it's called a great calm. It is here in verse number 26 too, I guess. Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And I had the wrong reference here, but it's still a great calm. Not only is it a storm at sea, but the storm of God's wrath is stopped. It's stilled by the same voice that stopped this storm. When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, our peace was purchased by Him by the shedding of His blood. All the storms in a believer's life can be calmed by our faith in the Lord Jesus. You remember, He was trying to tell His disciples that He was going to go to the cross and He was going to go away, and where He was going, they couldn't follow Him, and they were very troubled about it. And a very famous portion of Scripture, John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And then He tells them what He's going to do. He's going to go away. "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And He's not only is He going to go away, but He's coming again. And the Bible testifies that He wants our confidence in Him to still the storms in our life. Now, I don't know. I suppose probably if we had write down the greatest storm that we're facing right now and we get them all together, we'd probably find out that there's a different storm in every person's life. Some of them might overlap some, but I doubt if there'd be any duplicates. But there's not a storm that can come into your life that Jesus can't change. Whether it's health or financial or relationships or family situations, occupation, vocation, location, God can take care of all of those things if we'll just give Him permission to work in those things. This storm had purpose to it. Jesus didn't take Him out there just to watch Him cry like a bunch of babies. Why did He take Him out into the storm? He wanted to prove to them the song that our kids sing, "With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm." It's impossible for a ship to sink when Jesus is on it. Listen to what Paul told the Corinthian church. He said, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body. When those men got off that ship, they had a story to tell that they didn't have to tell before they got onto it a few hours before that. When you come out of a storm, trouble on every side. But the purpose of it, is that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The way we handle our storms will tell people about our relationship with the Lord Jesus. We ought to be wanting to get a good report of that. The songwriter said, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. And we need to get great strength from that. And then we see the startled servants of the Lord. In verse number 27, the Bible says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You know, the fact that Jesus controlled so many different things shows that he really was the God-man. He really is the God-man. He's God and man. Though we saw all the evidences of him being human, tired and thirsty and hungry and all those things. But listen to the thing about this for a little bit. The Bible says, and they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. He had power over the winds and the wave. He had power over unclean spirits. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 37, the Bible says, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Listen tonight. Whatever your problem is, as gigantic as the devil has made it look like it is, it's a drop in the bucket to the Lord Jesus. It can be easily taken care of by the Lord Jesus. Here's a verse we'll close with tonight. Here's a promise verse for you. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He's not going to keep you in perfect peace because you've read your Bible 15 times a day. He's not going to keep you in perfect peace because you give lots more money to missions. That's not what it's about. Perfect peace is given when we trust him. Let me read it again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because, how come, Lord? Because he trusteth in thee. And so the question tonight is, how are you doing in the storm? It's going to pass. It's going to pass. Are we going to pass? That's the question. How is our peace in the storm? Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please.